right, grab your Bible, grab your journal, and let's get ready to learn together. We're continuing our school year series we've entitled, I'm Glad You Asked, where we're answering common questions from curious students. And tonight, we're just gonna dive right into this topic because it's a heavy one, but a very important one for every single one of us in this room. Our world has a significant mental illness problem. Our world has a significant mental illness problem. I don't have to prove it to you. I don't have to show you statistics or bring up stories, because you know. The rates of anxiety, the depression, the suicidal thoughts, the uncontrolled thoughts, maybe destructive thoughts, all of those things are at an all-time high. Just even today, I was listening to this report in the Wall Street Journal. It's a newspaper. You've never heard of it. And in it, they were talking about this woman who used to work at Facebook was talking about the adverse effects of social media on the mental health of teenagers and how they know all about it at Facebook and Instagram and these social media platforms, but they're doing little to solve the problem, or they really don't even know how to solve the problem. But that mental health problem or issue isn't just a challenge somewhere out there across the country or across the world or on some statistic, but it's in your friend groups. It's in your family. It's at your school. It's in this room. Maybe it's even in you. And as you even hear me describing this, man, you're thinking to yourself, man, he's right. I have struggled with some sort of mental health challenge for as long as I can remember. And maybe you're thinking, maybe tonight, man, when is it gonna get better? Why hasn't it gotten better? I've tried all of these different things to make it better, to make it stop, to make it be fixed, to make it work. I'm still struggling. Or maybe it's a more recent struggle for you and you feel ill-equipped to even answer the question, how do I deal with my own personal struggle with mental illness? And I just wanna say, if that's you, or if you know someone that is experiencing mental illness and struggling with it, man, I see you. I know you're out there. I know you're hurting, and I'm sad that you're hurting. I'm glad that you're here tonight. Because we're gonna be answering this very important question that some of you are asking. How should we fight mental illness? I'm glad you asked it, because we're gonna answer it tonight from God's word. How should we fight mental illness? And to answer this question, we're gonna look at the problem with mental illness, and then we're gonna look at the path to mental wellness, and we're gonna look at some practical advice for the fight. Don't worry if you don't get all of those, we'll go back over them again. We're gonna look at the problem with mental illness, the path to mental wellness, and practical advice for the fight, okay? So the first thing we're gonna look at is the problem with mental illness. I was looking and researching and reading all sorts of articles to try to find a succinct definition of mental illness, and it's actually pretty hard. But what I found that I think best describes it was in the American Psychiatric Association, and they define mental illness like this. Mental health is the foundation for emotions, for thinking, for communication, learning, resilience, and self-esteem. Mental health is also key to relationships, personal and emotional well-being, and contributing to the community around you. And mental illnesses are health conditions involving changes in your emotion, thinking, or behavior. So that was like one of the best compilations of it that I found. And so I thought maybe it would be more helpful to give a more simple definition, that there's way more to it than this, but I think this is a really helpful way to think about it. Mental illness can be defined as when your outer life is negatively impacted by your inner life. Mental illness can be defined as when your outer life, so the things you do in life that everyone can see, when that is negatively impacted by your inner life, whether that be your thoughts, your emotions, chemical imbalances, whatever it might be. And the second thing I want to share with you about the problem with mental illness is that mental illness affects every single one of us. Mental illness affects every single one of us. Stick with me. If you disagree, hear me out. There's a verse in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, and it uses the phrase heart, the human heart, to kind of describe what we're talking about right now. Your thoughts, your emotions, your will, kind of the center of your life, your inner life, if you will. And here's what Jeremiah 17, 9 says. It says, the human heart, your inner self, is the most deceitful of all things. It is desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? And so what this prophet is saying to you and I is that because of the sin and brokenness in this world and in our hearts and in our lives, our inner life is broken. It's not as it should be. And as a result of that, it impacts negatively our outer life. There's another verse that you're probably familiar with. You've maybe heard it before. It's Proverbs 4:23, and it uses the same idea of heart, meaning your inner life. And it says this, guard your heart above all else. Protect your inner self, if you will, for it determines the course of your life. And so what these two verses and many others are trying to communicate to us is that every single one of us, regardless of your diagnosis, regardless of how you walked into this room, regardless of your awareness of your mental illness or your rejection of the idea completely, wherever you are, the truth is that we are all mentally ill. There's a sense in which we all struggle with mental illness. And there's a sense in which many of us uniquely struggle with anxious thoughts, with inappropriate thoughts, unhealthy thoughts, destructive thoughts, a low view of self, and on I could go. You see, one of the greatest lies and strategies of our enemy, the devil, is to make you think that you're the only one. He wants you to think that no one else has the anxiety that you have. No one else struggles with depression like you do. Or no one else has the thoughts of harming yourself like you do. Or wondering what life would be like if you weren't here. Or the low self-esteem. He wants you to be isolated and think that you're the only one. And I want to say right here at the front end that you are not alone. You're not the only one who struggles like that. Whatever that is. Have you ever been to, the airport and you've had to walk through, the airport security terminal, like walk through this thing? When you walk through it, it reveals things that cannot be seen just with the untrained eye or with the naked eye. And when I think about this idea that every single one of us experiences mental illness, I think about this security checkpoint because it reveals those things that are unseen. And imagine if we walked into Shoreline tonight and you had to walk through one of those, but it wasn't revealing what was unseen on the outside, it was revealing what's unseen on the inside. I guarantee you, like if we put up the statistics, man, you'd see anxiety, you'd see depression, you'd see OCD, you'd see suicidal thoughts, you'd see, you name it. You're not the only one. Don't let the enemy tell you that you are. So we can give this concept, however, of mental illness too much power in our lives. Hear me out. We can give this concept too much power in our lives. And here's what I mean by that. Our culture, our world right now is so quick to diagnose. You know, like, is your mind always racing? It must be because you're an anxious person. It must be because you have OCD. Are you stressed? It must be because you struggle with anxiety. I just don't think that that's always the case. You might be depressed, or you just might need a good night's sleep. You might not be depressed. You might feel like you're depressed, but it's just because you lost that game, that match, and you feel really sad. And that's a part of life. You might not have an anxiety problem or issue per se. You might just be feeling anxious in a particular moment, just like any other human being would. So the point I'm trying to make there is to be careful with the labels. Not everything is, you know, a diagnosis that is life-defining, if you will. Does that make sense? So that's one side of the coin that I want to share. But on the other hand, so on one hand, we can give this concept of mental illness too much power, but on the other hand, we can fail to pay attention to the signs of mental illness. Right? If you continually have those thoughts, if you continually struggle in that way, if you continually are feeling an overwhelming sense of anxiousness or tightness in your body or depressive thoughts or whatever it might be, there might be something that definitely needs to be addressed. And so while on the one hand, you should be careful not to quickly diagnose or go to Instagram or Twitter or TikTok to find out what's wrong with you, on the other hand, you should pay close attention to the signs. And here's what I want to say right here, is that your identity is not your diagnosis. Your identity is not your diagnosis. And here's what I mean. If I want to be as clear as I can, is that I'm not against remedies, or I'm not against the diagnosis that some of you might even have. I'm not against counseling or taking medication or seeking help. In fact, if you're doing things like that to help with your mental health struggles, man, I'm so proud of you for taking those steps. I'm so proud of you for taking those steps. But those steps should be supplements. Those steps should be supplements, and they shouldn't be your hope for mental wellness. Does that make sense? Those things can help. They're supplements, but they're not your savior. Because there is a path to mental wellness. There is a path to mental wellness. And it's not found in taking a mental health break, or it's not found in taking a self-care day, and it's not found in cutting out toxic people out of your life. It's not found in taking a break from social media. And all of those things might be something that you should consider. But while doing those things might help temporarily, they only treat the signs of a deeper problem. They only treat the signs of a deeper problem. A couple weeks ago, I walked into our garage at our house, and there was a wasp just flying around in our garage. I was like, where'd this wasp come from? You know, so I opened the garage door to try to get it to fly out, you know, and I thought nothing of it. And I went about my merry way, you know, and then a day or two later, I go back out into the garage. It's not just one wasp. It's like three or four. I'm like, this is getting crazy. Where are these wasps coming from? And I think nothing of it. It's just four of them. It's fine. And then a couple days later, I mean, a swarm. And my wife is like, we got to get rid of these wasps. They're going to sting me or our son when I go out into the garage to leave. And so like an incredible husband, I head on over to your local neighborhood Target and I buy wasp and hornet spray. I'm like, I'm gonna fix this problem. No wasps are gonna sting my son or my wife. So I go out into the garage and I spray them all, and there's dozens upon dozens of them that are like literally dead on the ground, on the floor, in the garage. I'm like, let's go, husband of the year. You love to see it. And then I take my leaf blower and I blow all the dead wasps out of my garage, out into the yard, and I'm going about my way. I think the problem is solved. And then a couple days later, they're back. more wasps, even more than before. And I'm like, are you serious? What is going on? And what I realized was that I was dealing with, or I was trying to treat, the signs, the symptoms of a very deep problem that I didn't know about. And so I had to bring in the professionals. So I called up Home Team Pest Defense in Richardson, Texas, and the guy came over to our house, and he checked everything out, and he saw there was up in the attic these huge wasp nests, and they were flying down through the attic and flying in through the side of the house. And so I was thinking I was dealing with the problem, but I really wasn't, because there was a source that I hadn't dealt with, and I needed to call in the professionals. Does that make sense? And I think in the very same way, when it comes to our mental wellness, there's a path to it. And while some strategies might be helpful for some times and some ways, they're only temporary if you don't call in the professionals. Here's what the professionals do. The professional is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He came and he hung on a cross to heal you and to heal me from my mental illness. All of us are broken and sinful. And no matter what we do to fix ourselves, to solve our problems, we can't in our own strength. And Jesus knew that. And so he came and he lived and he died and he took our place. And he gives us a new life and a new relationship with God. In fact, Luke 19:10 says this, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. You know who's included in those who are lost? Every single one of us. And so wherever you are, however you might be experiencing challenges with your mental health, there's a path to wellness, and it only goes through the cross, the professionals. So the cross is a provision for us. The most mentally healthy thing you and I can do every single day is to trust in the goodness and kindness of God. The most mentally healthy thing you can do isn't to quit Instagram or take a mental health day. It's to look to your Savior who loves you and died for you. So the cross is one of the professionals that we should bring in on the path to mental wellness. And along with the cross, Jesus gives us a few other companions to help us experience this path to wellness. Jesus came to give us power over our thoughts and our inner life in general through God's word, God's spirit, and God's people. The companions, the professionals that have come our way to help us on the path to mental wellness, Jesus gave to us. His word, God's spirit, and God's people. God's word, Joshua 1:8, is a verse that I've reflected on so many times. And it says this, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. And so whatever your mental health struggles are, through the cross and trusting in Jesus, there are other companions to help you along the way. His word, God's word. It is faithful, it is true, it is right, it is pure, it is holy, and it is for you. So one of our companions is God's word. The second companion is God's spirit. Look with me at Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. I'll read it quickly for you. It says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Right? You see the contrast. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And so there's a sense in which God himself is at your disposal. If you are a follower of his, you've placed your faith and trust in him, you have his spirit. And allowing his spirit to lead you, to guide you in those moments, in those seasons, in those years of anxiety or depression or suicidal thoughts or whatever it might be, his spirit is there for you. You're not alone. So God's word, God's spirit are two companions, and the last of the three companions is God's people, God's people. James 5:16 is a verse that I think of often in relation to how other Christians are a resource and blessing to us to help us deal with and fight against our own mental illness. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has what? Great power and produces wonderful results. And so in essence, this verse is saying, man, one of the most powerful things available to you and I are the people sitting right next to you, to your left, to your right, your small group leaders, your parents who love Jesus, are readily available companions for the mental health challenges and struggles that you might be experiencing. So the companions are God's word, God's spirit, and his people that you and I have available to us if we've placed our faith and trust in Jesus. So let's wrap up with some practical advice for the fight. There's a path to mental wellness, and it comes through the cross and the companions that Jesus gives. But I wanted to share some simple ways or applicable ways to high schoolers in 2021 for you to fight the mental health challenges you might be experiencing or someone you know might be. And to set this up, I want to show you this. This is a bottle of Mike's Hot Honey. So it's spicy honey. How many of you guys have ever tried honey on pizza? Let's go. Let's go. That's what I expected. I expected some joy and jubilation, and then I expected some people to say, that's the nastiest thing I've ever heard. It's not. All you have to do is try it once. If you've never tried it, I want to encourage you to try it once. Don't knock it till you tried it. And really, that's the point of that illustration, that the things I'm about to share with you, maybe you've heard it before, you've thought, oh, that's good, and you've never actually tried it, and I want to encourage you, just like I'm encouraging you to try honey on pizza, don't knock it till you tried it, even though this is way more important. So here's the first piece of practical advice for the fight against mental illness. Number one, share the gospel with yourself every day. Share the gospel with yourself every day. The gospel isn't just that moment where you understand your need for a savior and ask him to save you and allow you to be with him in heaven. It is that 100% true. But the gospel is also the means by which you live every day in the way life was meant to be lived. It's the means by which you overcome some of the struggles and challenges in your thoughts, in your mind, in your heart. And so I want to share with you the gospel really quickly just in case you haven't heard it. I found this somewhere and I'm going to read it to you. It says this definition of the gospel, if you will. This world was perfect, but now it's broken, as you can see. The heart of the problem isn't somewhere out there. It's right inside me. There's no one to blame, no refuge to claim. The only solution is to call on Jesus' name. He gave up his life. He took my place. Then he rose from the grave. What amazing grace. My only right response is to accept this gift so kind and live every moment of the day with him in mind. And I searched far and wide for this description of the gospel, and I found this old English poet, and his name is Jermaine Harrison. For real, I wrote that. I wrote that just for you guys. I know that when you're at small group and your leaders ask you, what's the gospel, you start with, and Adam and Eve, humans were good, and then we were bad, and then, you know, I know what you do. So I want to give you a great resource, a way to even think about it, take a picture of it, read it when you wake up. That's one of the greatest ways you can fight against the mental illness that all of us struggle with, or the mental illness that you uniquely struggle with. Share the gospel with yourself every single day. The second piece of practical advice after you share the gospel with yourself every day, the second idea is this: helmet the head. And the idea behind this is if you've played football, if you watch football players, they put on a helmet. And the goal of the helmet is to protect their brains, to protect their skulls, to protect their minds from CTE and from all the other injuries that can come from playing football. You put on a helmet to keep yourself safe. And when it comes to the battle for your mind, the battle for your thoughts, your anxiety, your depression, your lustful thoughts, whatever it might be, the way that you put on a spiritual helmet, if you will, is by memorizing scripture. Psalm 119 verse 11 says this: your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And I can't tell you the countless times where I was in a situation where I was struggling to trust God, where I was in a situation where it seemed like all hope seemed lost. And verses like Psalm 103 verse 19 came to mind, which says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all. And so in those moments when I felt out of control and felt like all hope was lost, I was reminded that the one who is in control sees and he knows and he cares. And I didn't look it up on Google or look it up on my phone, because I knew it in my mind. So you share the gospel with yourself every day. You helmet the head. Here's the third idea, the third piece of practical advice: invite others in. Invite others in. We just talked about it. One of the resources available to you on the path to mental wellness is God's people. Invite them in. I don't know who needs to hear this, but you do not need to battle and fight against your mental illness alone or in the dark. There are people who love you, who care about you, who want to be there for you, who want to understand what's going on, and they won't know what's going on unless you tell them, unless you bring it into the light. And maybe tonight is that moment for you to bring your doubts, your fears, your anxieties into the light and tell someone, tell your small group leader, tell your parents. So you share the gospel with yourself every day, you helmet the head, you invite others in, and then you filter your thoughts. You filter your thoughts. Philippians 4:8 is a verse that I would encourage you to commit to memory, because it helps you understand what it means to filter your thoughts. You understand that because of Jesus and his Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, if you're a follower of his, you have the power available to filter your thoughts, not in your own strength, but in his. Philippians 4:8 says this: and now, dear brothers and sisters, and now, dear students in Dallas in 2021, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. It is an active choice. It is something that you do on purpose. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Every other moment of the day, culture, your friends, your own mind, social media, music, whatever it might be, is trying to get you to think about thoughts and think about things that are the opposite of what is talked about here in Philippians 4:8. But by God's grace and by God's Spirit, you have the opportunity and the privilege and the power to choose. No, I'm not going to think about those things. Instead, I'm going to think about the character of God. Instead, I'm going to think about the truth that God says about who I am. Instead, I'm going to think about what God's word says that I should do in this situation, right? So you filter your thoughts. And then lastly, last piece of advice is you trust the process. You trust the process. If you walked into this room heavy burdened, struggling, and you believe in Jesus and walk on this path to wellness, you know what's not going to happen tomorrow? You're not going to be completely healed and everything's all good and you never struggle with your thoughts ever again. That's just not how it works. It's a journey. So I want to encourage you and remind you of that fact, that it is a journey that you're on. Trust the process. So if you've been paying attention, the practical advice is to shift your thinking. You can do more than this, obviously, with professional help or with medication, if that's what's appropriate. You can do more than this, but you can't do less if you're going to properly address the problem of mental illness in your life or in the lives of those around you. So in conclusion, how should we fight mental illness? We should call in the professionals. Jesus, God's word, God's spirit, God's people. And shift your thinking. We're going to sing the last song that we just sung in response to this message. But I want to read a passage of scripture over you. It's Psalm 73. Let me turn there so I can read it for you. Psalm 73, verses 23 through 26. And I want you maybe even to just close your eyes, not even read it, don't even take notes. Just listen to this truth about who God is. When we're done, we're going to sing together. Psalm 73, verses 23 through 26. It says this, Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. God, I pray that you would remind these students of that truth. That though they may be struggling for weeks, months, years with their mental health, that you're with them. Though their heart may fail, though their health may fail, though their spirit may grow weak, you remain. And you give them strength because you are theirs forever. I pray, God, for students in this room who have never placed their faith and trust in you, may they do that today for the very first time. And I pray for students who have placed their faith and trust in you and who continue to wrestle with fear and doubt and anxieties and suicidal thoughts and whatever else it might be. God, would you be with them? Would you nudge them even in this very moment and say, hey, I'm with you. I see you. I know you. I care about you. Would they call in the professionals, the truth of your gospel, your word, your spirit, your people, use the tools available to them that we talked about tonight to fight their mental illness. We love you and we're so grateful.